We have been asked to read this letter on behalf of the Archbishop, Archbishop Jose Gomez. It's being read in parishes throughout the Archdiocese today. My brothers and sisters in Christ, this week we are releasing the files of priests who sexually abused children while they were serving in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. These files document abuses that happened decades ago, but that does not make them less serious. I find these files to be brutal and painful reading. The behavior described in these files is terribly sad and evil. There is no excuse, no explaining away what happened to these children. The priests involved had the duty to be their spiritual fathers, and they failed. We need to acknowledge that terrible failure today. We need to pray for everyone who has ever been hurt by the members of the church, and we need to continue to support the long and faithful process of healing their wounds and restoring the trust that was broken. I cannot undo the failings of the past that we find in these pages. Reading these files, reflecting on the wounds that were caused, has been the saddest experience I have had since becoming your Archbishop in 2011. My predecessor, retired Cardinal Roger Mahoney, has expressed his sorrow for his failures to fully protect young people entrusted to his care. Effective immediately, I have informed Cardinal Mahoney that he will no longer have any administrative or public duties. Auxiliary Bishop Thomas Curry has also apologized publicly for his decisions while serving as vicar for the clergy. I have accepted his request to be relieved of his responsibility as the regional bishop of Santa Barbara. To every victim of child sexual abuse by a member of our church, I want to help you in your healing. I am profoundly sorry for these sins against you. To every Catholic in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, I want you to know we will continue, as we have for many years now, to immediately report every credible allegation of abuse to law enforcement authorities and to remove those credibly accused from ministry. We will continue to work every day to make sure that our children are safe and loved and cared for in our parishes, schools, and every ministry in the Archdiocese. In the weeks ahead, I will address all of these matters in greater detail. Today is a time for prayer and reflection and deep compassion for the victims of child sexual abuse. I entrust all of us and our children and families to the tender care and protection of our Blessed Mother Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and Our Lady of the Angels. Sincerely yours in Christ, Jose H. Gomez, Archbishop of Los Angeles. We read this letter and hear it with some distress, anger, perhaps perplexity, and great sadness. It is a letter that comes as a culmination of a long, slow process of our community opening our eyes and hearts to the harm that was being inflicted on the most innocent among us and the failure to bring that to light. This letter stands on the very day that we get this letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians. And this letter from St. Paul to the Corinthians is very interesting. It's a great gift to the church. This letter that now sounds so sweet and so lovely, it's read at so many weddings. It's been something for the sister of the groom or the first cousin of the bride to read as the second reading for so many weddings, and it's so familiar. Probably we know it by heart, or many parts of it by heart. But the letter to the Corinthians was a tough letter that Paul wrote. And the community that first heard that letter to the Corinthians probably heard it with as much of a sense of perplexity and anger and even guilt on behalf of some as we heard the letter from Archbishop today. There are two big issues in Corinth at the time. Corinth was a city that was built in a trading part of the world. It was very cosmopolitan, very complex. It's a city that we know had many pagan temples of Greek and Roman religions. There was a Jewish community there and a community of Christians that had been strong. But the community of Christians was having a very hard time, very difficult times, part of it because of within and part of it just trying to resist the temptations and the pressures of the culture that it lived in. And so Paul writes this letter, and there's two letters in this 12th and 13th and 14th chapter of the letter of Corinthians that are very important to Paul. Because Corinth was a wealthy city, it was a city that had great disparity. There were some that were very wealthy, but it was also a city that was built basically on slaves. And the labor of this port city was built on slaves. The thing with Christianity and the beautiful part of Christianity is that Christianity, unlike some of the other religions that were practiced there at the time, was a religion that welcomed the slave. It welcomed the tradesman. It welcomed the shipping moguls. It welcomed everybody. And that lasted for a while, but the community in Corinth, a class system was arising. And part of it was because they didn't have churches then. They met in people's homes. And so the people with a big enough home to host the church would be people of some means. And the people of means were excluding the slaves, were excluding the lower class people. They were creating a class system, and they were saying, well, that part of the scripture which says everybody's welcome, that doesn't really apply. That part of the scripture where it says the poor are blessed, that doesn't really apply. And so they were taking privilege out of their position in the community, and some were being excluded. In this letter, Paul challenges that quite outright. He says, you are all members of the same body. You're not them and us. It's all you. And all are valued, all are needed, all are children of God, all are part of this great body. And when the poor or the weakest were excluded or mistreated, it brought shame to the community. We are one. We are all treasured. We are all needed and loved by God. Secondly, the concept of spiritual gifts. And they all sound quite innocent and good, the gift of tongues, the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, and so on and so on. But the problem is that in Corinth, there were philosophies around that time that were kind of separated the flesh, the world that we live in, from the body, from the world of the spirit. And so it crept into the Christian community that if you had the spiritual gift, it really didn't matter what you did with your life. So if you had a spiritual gift of speaking in tongues, and that was your gift in the Christian community, it really didn't matter if you acted like the Greeks or Romans and participated in temple prostitution or the kinds of promiscuity or abuse that happened in the other part of the community. There was a separation, and there was a thought that these spiritual gifts somehow weren't connected with the way that people lived. Because of the influence of Gnosticism and pagan religions, these gifts of tongues and prophecy and faith and knowledge and good works, well, they thought that if you had those, then you could get away with anything. If you had those, then that was a sign that you were okay altogether. But Paul says no. He says you can have piety, you can have good works, you can do good things, you can say smart things, but what you got to look at is love. What you got to look at is love and the way that you treat each other and the effects of love within your community. Love is patient and kind, and not jealous. It's not pompous. It's not inflated. It's not rude. It's not seeking its own interest. Not quick-tempered. It doesn't brood over injuries. It doesn't hold grudges. Love that rejoices in truth and bears all things and believes all things and hopes in all things and endures all things. It never fails. And Paul says, whatever gifts you have, or however much you give to the poor, or however smart you sound when you talk, it doesn't matter if you don't love. And that was probably something that stung the people of his day. Probably something that stung because both parts of his message, probably because there were some people who were pretty invested in their habits, their lifestyles, and their fashions that excluded and did dishonor to the Eucharist by excluding and abusing people who were less than them. It was probably hard to hear because there were some people that thought they were getting away with something, and they had a blind spot that kept them from seeing the ways their arrogance or the ways that their abuse of people weaker than them kept them from really being of service and of love to the community. What is important? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. So we have this letter from Paul. We have Paul's concerns to this community that had gotten corrupted and that had gotten off stray. And we have a letter from an archbishop apologizing for a community that had been corrupted and had gone astray. And I can't help but wonder if St. Paul's great lament was, why didn't you listen to me? Why weren't you taking this seriously? Why weren't you reading this letter? Why weren't you reading the Gospels? How could blind spots have developed that were so big and so harmful? It's time to pray for healing of the victims. It's time to pray that for healing for those who were most vulnerable and taken advantage of. It's a time of purification in the church, and we've had this going on for over 10 years now. And we have worked hard to make a community that is accountable, a community that has systems and processes that hold us accountable internally with each other and externally. And we've done a lot to train and to work toward being the kind of community that St. Paul would be proud of, and being a kind of community that we can be proud of and that we can be happy for. And yet we still are reminded of the ways that we need to grow and the ways that we need to listen to the best of the tradition. As hard as it is to read the Los Angeles Times, we should read it. As hard as it is to listen to a letter like we heard, we should hear it, but really hear it. We should really hear the challenge and the hope that comes from this letter. The challenge and hope that letters like this and times like this we look back on and see them as times when grace came, like grace has come from the letter to the Corinthians. And my great sadness, my greater sadness than the scandals themselves, is that the world isn't learning the lesson. We could have learned from the lesson of the bad example of the Corinthians, as well as their good example. The world and society could be learning so much from the bad example we've given. The scandals in the churches, they've caused us to look interior and reform. They could be such a thing that could be transforming society. The scandals of the church in the late 1990s and 2000s could have been an example to the people at Penn State. And yet that went on for years. The scandals in the church couldn't have been an example to the people at the BBC who let one of their great stars abuse hundreds of children until after his death. I mean, which wasn't reported till after his death. And it didn't come to be. The lessons of the church could have been a lesson to Los Angeles Unified School District, who waited 6 months to investigate credible allegations of a sixth grade teacher who was doing unspeakable things with his students. Let us pray that people get the letter. Let us pray that everybody gets the letter and reads it, and then each of us. But that also we take to heart the full impact of both these letters, and that we look at our lives for anything that makes us vulnerable to thinking less or abusing people that are less from us or more weaker or vulnerable. Because the scandals in the church could be a lesson to anyone who looks at pornography. Because anyone who looks at pornography is in some way getting pleasure out of somebody whose life has included abuse and mistreatment. We could look at it, the scandals in the church could be a lesson to anyone tempted to seduce another and use them without thinking of their humanity or their past or their present or their future, just with the intention of using and discarding. Let us pray that amid the outrage and anger and sadness and all those feelings that the LA Times articles and the recent revelations reveal, that we can read the letters and learn the lessons and learn from the best of who we are. Self-sacrificing love, life-giving love, patience, prudent and strong. That's what we aim for. And that is the corrective that should be the source and root of our service, our accountability, our worship, and our service. It is love, that kind of love, that will help heal, reform, and love will remind us and keep us humble so that we continue to do it into the future and continue to learn the letters, to learn the lessons from the letters of our triumphs, and the lessons from the letters of our shame. All can be grace if we read them and heed them and transform the mistakes into the past, into a path of love for the future.